Bound, bound, don't go, bound, bound, damn, bound, 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 bound,
Wahoo, Sword Breaker!
Welcome to the Sword Breaker Podcast. Each week, I tackle a new theme. First, we'll see if any of my listeners have something to say from previous episodes. Then, I'll share some ideas about the main topic. After that, I'll give you my list of 8 variations on the theme. Enjoy.
Hi Logan, Goblin Sentryman here. So perhaps an idea for a show here? Creature parts. So one of my favourite items I created, which is in my product, The Master's Hoard, is the jawbone of a troll, which is kind of like wielded like an axe. So it's got like the jawbone and a whole row of sort of serrated teeth. And because the jawbone is sort of, you know, trollish, it's still alive, it secretes acid from the teeth. And, you know, if you get a critical hit, one of the teeth explodes, doing extra sort of damage, acid damage. The catch is that when all the teeth are used up, the marrow within the bone is still alive, and it could regenerate a troll when you least expect it. Imagine discarding the jawbone because all the teeth are gone, and then it comes back to find its former master. Taps him on the shoulder. Remember me? All right, cheers, fella. Bye. Hi, Logan. Goblin Sentryman here. Here's another idea for a potential show, potentially. And that is broken items. So, you know, particularly broken magic items and how they've changed because of the damage. This is, again, an item I created from in my Master's Hoard. It was called the Tickler. And what it was a longsword that stabbed a phase spider as the phase spider was going into the ethereal realm. And so 2/3 of the longsword is in the ethereal plane and 1/3 is outside. So it looks a bit like a short sword, you know, good for halflings and things. But there's sort of interesting mechanics about when the sword phases in and out of reality, doing extra damage or even maybe flying from the wielder's hand because the blade appears and the handle disappears, that sort of thing. Okay, cheers, fella. Bye. Hi, Logan. Just a quick comment about magical bags. For the longest time, I've always wanted to write this kind of scene for a dungeon, and it feels a bit kind of in-game because it's addressing a problem that it only really occurs in-game. But the idea is that, picture this, there's a massive chasm, or a big chasm, and over it there's this arching bridge. And quite low down, far down, you can see hundreds of swords, the odd boat, a cart, furniture, gold, all sorts of things, helms. And the idea is that when you get halfway across the chasm, basically it causes all bags of holding to invert, spewing their contents into the gorge. Hate a DM forever.
Some awesome call-ins from Goblin's Henchmen of the Goblin's Henchmen blog and podcast. That last one is so diabolical, I can just see players completely freaking out as all their awesome goodies that they've tucked into their bag of holding go flying over the bridge and into the gorge. So the first one about monster parts is so brilliant and ties in really well with Swordbreaker, because many people don't know this, but in every issue of the Swordbreaker zine, I've placed at least one magic or strange item that belongs to part of a monster's body. If you look for them, you will definitely find them in every issue. I always try to make a point of sneaking one in. The second idea about the broken magic items, that's awesome. And I can't wait to do an episode on both of these ideas. Great, great suggestions. Thank you, Goblin's Henchmen.
Jiminy Christmas, Logan. Dude, in 1 week, you just did 8 times what it normally takes me 8 weeks to do once, man. That was awesome. Each one of those would be such a fun, awesome, exciting, epic, to use the word again because that's what it is, epic world to explore. I wish there was infinity time, man. I wish I could just play and play and play with all the people I wanted to. But that's not the way the world works. Anyway, man, so epic fantasy was that. Is low fantasy next? Peace out.
Thank you, Joe. You know I always appreciate your call-ins. Low fantasy, huh? Your wish is my command. Here goes.
Wahoo, Swordbreaker!
What makes low fantasy low? It's the opposite end of the dial from high fantasy. It can be just as full of imaginary things, but those things tend to be possible in our own world. While there can still be the occasional monster, dabbler in magic, or even person who might not be of the same species as everyone else, it's not an expected part of life for most people. Turn down the spells, turn down the unicorns, turn down the orcs. Give me some of that good old low fantasy. Eight variations on low fantasy. Number one, the clocks in Beldrast are ticking. Count Orestes is mad. He's rounding up all the children under 3 years old just because his deranged fortune teller warned him of a child. The streets are full of his black helmet guards, and his crossbows fill the towers and walls. Lakara, the junkie ex-thief turned prize grappler, just sprung her old pal Renza out of jail, and she's still a bit drunk. The aging fencing instructor frightens people, and not just because she's taller and stronger than most men, drinks till she's stupid and laughs when she fights. Together, they're known as Scarlet Badger and the One-Eyed Witch. They're just two old addicts who have 6 hours to save the children. Number two, the cult of the horse god. The little hamlet of Moss Hill is under siege. A horde of riders came out of the night with painted faces and hair set aflame. They brandish nasty twisted swords and perform evil blood rites with the villagers they catch unaware. Now, they're beating at the doors and climbing through the windows. None of them notice the weary travelers who had hoped to find rest in Moss Hill. Number three, blood in the waterfall. Grandfather is sick, and only the healing properties of the waterfall at Ubo can heal him. Unfortunately, a runner came yesterday to report that the Bird Clan, with their feathered capes and terrifying scarred faces, have claimed the waterfall as their own and are keeping the other clans away. With a blessing from the Deep Spring Maiden, perhaps Haro, the strongest man in the clan, Woofwa, the monkey wrestler, and Shala, the girl with a spooky stare and great wisdom, can reach the waters and save the Grand Elder. Number four, the Barrow of Redbeard the Wise. Legends tell of Redbeard the Wise, a mighty king of old who used his vast knowledge to unite the island and secure a golden age of prosperity. His sword was made from some strange metal that shattered the weapons that were brought against it. His treasury was the subject of many songs. When he died, all of it went away. They say it's hidden in his final resting place, but that the place is full of clever tricks and curses. It would take the knowledge of a bard, the strength of a warrior, the wits of a street rat, and the skills of a healer to untangle the puzzle. Number five. They were dancing when they died. Friar Goodway had seen the dancing hysteria before. This was something else made to look like that. 129 people walked out into the streets, danced until the sun went down, and then started dropping dead. Goodway's companions, Nadar the Outlander, who served as his hired muscle and drinking buddy, and Tomward, the burglar he took as a student, helped him collect some of the bodies for examination. Each victim has a tiny pinprick on the back of the neck. Why is the question? Number six, the War of Lake Luai. Any large-scale assault from the south would need to cross the massive, frozen Lake Luai in order to penetrate the Goteng Mountains. The seven small villages that call the lake home wouldn't seem like much of a barrier, but horses and armor are a detriment on the ice, and the villagers are highly skilled with their ice skiffs and harpoons. That's not even taking into account the bears and water lions. Number 7. East and West. The 13 noble houses of the East have temporarily banded together in an attempt to halt the advance of the Western Empire. The hardy giants that populate the Eastern families wield their enormous dread swords to shred armor and break enemy ranks. The Western soldiers respond with powerful formations, clever linking wall shields, and advanced tactics. Tucked into their rugged ancestral homelands, the East has the numbers and the desire to win, but 4 bad marriages have spoiled clan relationships, and blood feuds may well give the West everything it wants. Number 8. Nowhere to Cross. The famous arching bridge over the River Fwelid is the pride of Starglass Bay. Of course, in the duchies of Windlewold, everything is subject to the whims of the elite. A little family wager has dropped a big job on the Chimney Swift network. Steal the bridge before New Year's festival and leave no trace. Thank you so much for listening. And hey, I love receiving calls and messages. You can call me through the Anchor app or send me a note at swordbreakerzine@gmail.com. Tell me your thoughts on this episode or something from a past episode. Give me ideas for new themes or just say hello. Thank you to Ray Otis for my new full color logo. You can find links to his many excellent games, zines, and blog posts at rayotus.com. That's rayotus.com.
The crew at your table is making demands. They want adventure in fantasy lands. Wahoo, Swordbreaker! You need some options and you need them now. They're bored with the owlbears and sick of the drow. Wahoo, Swordbreaker! You're brilliant, it's true, but you know in the end, even the finest can use a friend. With random rambling and homebrewed lists, listener content with awesome twists. Bow, 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 bow. Swordbreaker!